In July 2019, WFHB and Bloomington lost a friend, William Michael Kelsey. In August, there was a celebration of his life at the Upland Brewing Company. Outside, there was music, the kind Mike liked. Fiddles, banjos, guitars, and those good old-time tunes. If you left the musicians and walked into the party pavilion, you found a lot of people, a whole lot of people, talking about Mike Kelsey.
This t-shirt is from a trip we made in Japan in 2010 with Mike, with Bill Crowder, Art Heckman, and myself, Henry Solomon. And Mike made the arrangements because he was the spoke Japanese and knew the expert. Plus, once we got there, like, we were traveling around and we'd stop at smaller cities or towns, you know, and Mike would say, okay, well, what kind of food do you want? And he'd go, oh, here, there's a noodle place, or this is a sushi place or something. He'd go in, he'd have a little conversation with the proprietor, no menu, and then the proprietor would bring us a great meal. And we traveled around, and it's a way you couldn't see it as a tourist. You needed somebody with the local knowledge. We went on a hike. So it's a famous trail, it's maintained. We hiked along it for a while, and then he made a B&B arrangement at a ryokan, it's called the Japanese Inn, okay? So he comes up to check in, and the clerk is just startled, because here's this big Celtic-looking guy, and over the phone, the guy thought he was dealing with the Japanese. His Japanese was perfect, it was perfect, no accent, no nothing. He was good.
He was a technical translator.
Yeah, he was good.
He lived in Japan for a while, quite a while.
2 7-year stretches, total of 14 years.
14 years in Japan?
That's right. And remember, he got his doctorate in Japanese folklore.
Oh, hi, my name is Marge.
Hi, Marge. Hi, good to see you.
I met Mike, oh my gosh. I think we probably go back to sometime in the 90s. We hit it off immediately. We are both punsters, and so... You know, what a wit. He was just so quick. During Old Time Train 45 and the Follies, I mean, what he was able to do on the radio, it was at least as good, if not better, than anything that Garrison Keillor did on Prairie Home Companion.
We had a lot in common, actually. I met Michael Kelsey on the radio, like many people. I was doing a noontime program called Rural Roots on WFHB came on right after Old Train 45. We'd pass each other in the control booth there, WFHB, and we discovered we had a love of old-time music, and Mike and I got along really well, and then he invited me to start doing the Follies, and it's been very, very good to me. Mike and I were fellow Vietnam vets, and we lost the war together. And we're both proud of it.
A long time ago, Mike and Mike O'Day were partners at Inari.
Yeah.
And you know, they had a translation business and did book publishing. That's how I met Mr. Kelsey and Mr. O'Day and became friends with him. And he told me about his bluegrass pastime and how a little radio station was forming down in Bloomington. And although it didn't have a whole bunch of power, it sure was going to be fun. He was very happy to have a place that not only was a community place, but had his favorite flavors of music on the menu. Back then, he was just a sergeant, and as you know now, he's Colonel Kelsey.
He was a sergeant?
Yeah, because you could tell how he was ordering things around to get things done. He was a good promoter, but you know, the important thing was his enthusiasm and the fact that he was having so damn much fun. It's difficult to buy motivation and enthusiasm, and he sure did have it.
I met Mike at Bruce Castle's because of the beer club. Well, it is so funny because I had been a fan of his show for years and years, and I did not put two and two together. We sat and visited for a long time, and he never once mentioned Old Train 45. And, I mean, I spent every Saturday since Radio Ridge listening to that show. And when I finally put it all together, I was like, okay. What did they call themselves? They made beer back in the day when you couldn't get good beer. And then they just sort of kept making beer because, well, they were a bunch of old curmudgeons and they were used to what they were up to. Mike made beer. Well, we had the extreme good fortune of celebrating our birthdays together this year, in fact, which sadly turned out to be his last birthday. I remember asking Mike how old he was on this particular birthday, and he went, 74.
How's it going?
It's going pretty good.
Hey there. I was on his show a long time ago. I don't know exactly when, but a long time. Mike was just a unique guy. I mean, you know, there are not very many Mikes around like that. And
it's true.
Kelsey was just something else. I liked him. Yeah. Liked him a lot.
Yeah,
and, he was heart and soul.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to welcome you today as we celebrate the life of Michael Kelsey, William Michael Kelsey, also known to many of us as Colonel Mike Kelsey, or simply Mike. Our love and our laughter today goes to Mike and his family. Mike's wife of 52 years, Linda, is here with us.
52 years.
His daughter, Leah, is here with us today. His son, Joel, who'll be performing later. He's going to tell us the combo. And his sister, Mary Beth, Kelsey. Mike was known and loved by so many in our community and in all the worlds through which he traveled. Mike was the host of one of, if not the most beloved shows, Old Time Train 45. I met and knew Mike through WFHB Radio, the Firehouse Follies, and through Market Live. I think more people listened for any other reason because it was on Old Train 45's hour. And when Mike handed that off to us, the next 30 to 90 seconds was sheer terror for the person on the other side of that microphone, because he would ad-lib and make up some story that had to do with where you were, why you were arrested, or what you're wearing. Mike had the stature and the presentation of a world-class curmudgeon. He loved the world around him. I know that he loved music. I know that he loved laughter. He used and encouraged the bad pun. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen!
Oh my God.
It's at a low standard.
He liked basketball. He liked beer. He loved old-time music, and he loved old-time humor as well. It didn't have to be blue. It didn't have to be blue. I'd like to think Mike is here with us today in this room, front row, watching. So, dear friends, the microphone is now yours. And feel free to be as corny as possible. The jokes that got the loudest moans were always his favorite. You are the best one to come here. Right now, Gina, this is Dennis Rock.
Thank you, Hondo. Michael's a hero. I didn't even fully realize this until his passing, but the way he faced fought through daunting physical pain that would have brought me to my knees, put my butt in a wheelchair years ago, he never let stop me. He always took the next step. Wobbly as hell, but he took the next step. Mike was a force. He was a publisher, Japanese translator, promoter and producer of many folk musicians who came through Bloomington, and of course, Firehouse Follies, where he was the inspiration, the alpha, the omega. Sorry, Peter Lapalato, we're gonna use it this time. And it was his baby, he embraced it for sure. And he took great pleasure in writing being the main writer for the Firehouse Follies, he was always there to challenge our non-sensibilities, and he did a great job. He, of course, was a WFHB DJ for many years, from the early days with Old Time Train 45, as well as the Wednesday morning mix. He was a benefactor. There are those among you here whose lives he made better and easier behind the scenes. He was a humanist. He was a gourmand. He was a world-class character in a world that needs more world-class characters. Mm-hmm. He was a friend. He was a grouch. Many a Tuesday evening would find our group of grouches down at the main building here at Upland. And we would sit forth and hold forth, and Mike would be there sitting with a twinkle in his eye like a bawdy Buddha, waiting for that moment when he would deliver what would often be the joke of the evening. Mike was a great guy, and he touched many of our lives in this room, and that's a lot of lives. He meant a lot to a lot of us. We need more characters. One of you characters need to step up to this microphone right now and share one of your stories. Leah, what do you have to say? Mm-hmm. Leah Kelsey.
One of my favorite quotes has always been from one of my favorite movies, Get Busy Living or Get Busy Dying. And that's just exemplifies my dad, the Get Busy Living part. Because that's what he did. Whether it was yelling or having a conversation with his beloved IU basketball team, or helping out some musician to gain, you know, some kind of exposure so that everybody else could hear what he heard, or, you know, his love of food, yeah. Always thinking of, you know, some concoction to brew in his laboratory or kitchen. Yeah, or his love of pond water, or as most of the rest of you call it, beer. So yeah, he got busy living. And one of his parts of living was being a father, and actually being a dad. And I might share some genetic material with them. I mean, I'll turn that shade of lobster when I go out in the sun for about 2-3 minutes approximately on a good day. And we won't even talk about, you know, the ginger red hair gene, that curse that won't seem to go away when you look at my niece and nephew. He was definitely my father, and he was also definitely my daddy. He was Michael freaking Kelsey, y'all.
No.
My memories of Mike go back to when I was a 17-year-old freshman at the academic unit, Jenkinson 3, in Foster Quad. There's five of us, I think, here still, and we stayed together, and Mike was a big 18-year-old sophomore. And one of the first memories I have is I walked into a room at night, and there were five or six guys sitting there, and all the lights were off. And I figured, oh, they're trying to see the girls take a shower in the big dorm. But no, Mike said to me, sit down and shut the door, okay? And then someone said, I've got one coming. Give it to me. I said, what? And then there was a frog's croak, and a blue flash. They were lighting farts. And it went downhill from there.
Hi, thank you all for coming. First, I want to acknowledge my mom, Mary Beth, who is Mike's sister. I obviously know my mom much more than I knew Mike, but if he's her brother, then he's the best guy ever, pretty much. So I would see Mike a few times every year. I wish it had been more now. We'd go over every Thanksgiving, and as everyone has been saying, his food was always very, very delicious, very buttery, very lardy. I'll say a few things that just make me laugh when I think of Mike, because that's what I did most when I was around him. My first memory of laughing super hard at something Mike said was, I mentioned something about going up to Martinsville, and he said, you know, they only have white chocolate up in Martinsville. Every single time I would go over from age 5 until 20, he would ask me if I wanted a beer, knowing that I had to say no. And I really, really, really appreciated his dedication and commitment to the bit. I'm a big basketball fan too. He would watch the games on the TV muted with the radio on. Is that right?
Sure.
That is so ingenious and simple and clever. And so that just shows how dedicated he was to the things he loved and cared about, how consistent of a guy he was whenever I was there, how generous he was, and really sad to see him go, but it's really, really awesome to see everyone here sharing stories.
Michael and Linda, they were both there, are, at least as far as I'm concerned, famous for one thing. They're the first people that ever got me stoned.
Mike had some real bitterness at the end. Mike was exposed to Agent Orange. Mike was suffering from neuropathy, and the VA, Mike felt the VA completely neglected him, a person who he felt he was screwed, ripped off, all of that. And he said to me, he hoped that young people considering the military understand that this is how the government has treated many of the veterans.
That's right.
I miss the man dearly. And you know, if you live long enough, it gets lonely. I guess that's all I want to say.
At Indiana University Press, Mike was one of our freelance typesetters. I knew that he did Japanese and Korean, and that was kind of his specialty. I knew that he was very exacting. I mean, they say, you know, you always put on your resume detail-oriented, and that was Mike. Mike was very precise. He had a real loose quality to him, especially when he talked. He could be folksy and down home, but man, was he sharp. He knew exactly what he wanted. He was an excellent planner. He hated Prairie Home Companion. Couldn't stand Garrison Keillor's. Oh, fuck that guy. Oh, man, what a hack, you know?
He doesn't like the new guy.
He doesn't like, I like the new guy even less,
Chris,
I think.
Because
he's, Chris Steele.
He seems like, horrible.
He's like a dishwater version of Garrison Keillor.
When Mike Kelsey was born on March 29, 1945, the President of the United States was Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who promptly dropped dead. Bess Truman then suffered a setback in her long campaign to get Harry to clean up his language. The fact is that the news of Mike Kelsey's birth was quickly followed with worldwide cataclysms. Hitler shot himself. Mussolini started hanging around gas stations. In the United States, radio was at its peak. Its long decline didn't start until later, after Mike learned to talk. Like the Firehouse Follies, now this has been a mixture of fact and fiction, but one fact we know for sure, Mike Kelsey's work made more people laugh than anyone else at WFHB. Isn't it amazing how much corn you can get from just one kernel?
Oh.
also born in 1945 were Priscilla Presley, Lonnie Anderson, Steve Martin, John Lithgow, Henry Winkler, Goldie Hawn, Bette Midler, and our good friend Gary Sandy. Now, Gary wanted to be here today, really did, but he had a booking in New York and he couldn't get away. However, he did send an email and he said, quote, "I don't really have any funny story to tell about Mike. All I know is I really liked him. I thought he was a true gentleman. What a nice man." Phil Proctor of the Firesign Theater also wrote, "I'm so very sorry to hear this. My condolences to all. I am so glad I got to know Mike and work with him. I know he'd want you to carry on, and I'm so glad to have contributed to a memorable last show." And David Osmond said, "You know, sometimes you wait for the right moment to say goodbye, I guess. And I think Mike did just that. Here's a toast to Mike and the Follies."
Hear, hear.
Mike's sudden passing left a huge hole in the Firehouse Follies organization. But look what happened. All the members of the rather large family-style group that Mike had recruited over the years immediately stepped forward to do what they could so the Follies can continue. Now that kind of response is a measure of the loyalty Mike inspired by being loyal himself. And it's a measure of the size of his achievement that it took so many people to get everything done.
Yeah.
While we're all very sad that Mike Kelsey is gone, even more than that, we're all very glad he was here.
William Michael Kelsey, 1945 to 2019. Produced by WFHB Community Radio.